Money 105.5 presents Money 2.0.
Money 2.0.
Now, from Rogerson Business Services, certified business broker Andrew Rogerson on Money 2.0.
Good morning. Welcome to 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm the host of the show, Andrew Rogerson. I have two guests this morning. My first guest is Steve Zeller, and my second guest is Chuck Ashman. Steve's with a company called Zeller Kern, and they're a wealth management company. So I've got some questions for Steve, obviously about the topic of handling individuals and families' wealth and preserving and growing their businesses. So that'll be my first conversation with Steve when we get going shortly. And my second guest is Chuck Ashman. Chuck's the CEO of SMA Global, and they're a strategic planning and execution of programs for government agencies. They're actually funded by the SBA, and I'll be talking to Chuck about cybercrime. So he's suggesting it's a big impact coming on small businesses. So I thought it'd be interesting to talk about cybercrime and how it affects business owners. So that's my second guest this morning is the topic we're going to be talking about. This show is available to listen to on my website. So if you're out driving and want to listen to it later on tonight or tomorrow or next week, you're welcome to visit my website, www.rogersonbusinessservices.com. And the show's there ready for you to listen to, again, later on this afternoon or maybe tomorrow, depending on when it gets to me. But it is available to listen to, so you're welcome to do that. If you've got questions about buying or selling a business, that's what I do. You're welcome to give me a call, 916-570-2674. So please reach out to me. And so that leads into, what's this show about? This show is for business owners or those dreaming of becoming a business owner and looking for more information. We cover topics that include the spectrum of selling a business or buying a business or buying a franchise. And these topics include finance, legal issues, tax, accounting, as well as sales and marketing. And today we're talking about wealth management and cyber attacks. So two different topics in that. This show is what I'd like to say is where Wall Street meets Main Street. I'm Andrew Rogerson, a certified business broker and the host of your show. I'm certified through the California Association of Business Brokers. I'm also certified with International Business Brokers Association. I'm the author of four books, Successfully Buy Your Business, Successfully Start Your Business, Successfully Buy Your Franchise, and When You're Done, Successfully Selling Your Business. If you want more information, again, visit my website, www.rogersonbusinessservices.com. Each show I like to mention something happening in the local community, and this week I thought I'd highlight what's happening with the Sacramento Fire Department. They're offering a certification course for emergencies. So if there's an emergency in our community and people need help, what they do is they'll train you in advance so that you're certified and ready to go. So if there is an emergency call, you're all dressed up and ready to go. So if you have an interest in helping the community, you're welcome to make contact with the Sacramento Fire Department. It's the local fire department here with Sacramento. There's a contact here. His name's William White, and you can give him a call on 916-216-0327. And if you want more information, visit www.sfd. That's short for Sacramento Fire Department, C-E-R-T. sfdcert.com, Sacramento Fire Department, and become certified. And you can be available to help in case there's an emergency in our community. As I mentioned to you, my first guest this morning is a young gentleman called Steve Zeller. And Steve's with a company called Zeller Kern. And Steve's involved in the wealth advisory business. Steve, have I got you here?
Yes, you do, Andrew.
Good morning. Welcome, Steve.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
No, great to have you here. And I think wealth management right now is a very important topic because the economy is struggling. And so people have got some wealth, I think, and they need whatever they have. They need to make sure they use and use effectively. So that's part of what you do. Is that right?
Yeah, indeed we do.
So tell me a little bit about Steve Zeller. What gets him out of bed each morning?
What gets me out of bed each morning? Well, about 5:15, 5:30 a.m., my short-haired border collie wakes me up and tells me it's time to go out.
Yeah, very good.
And that, no, seriously, what gets me out of bed? I think it's of course, it's the love of my family and my faith and the drive to make a significant positive difference in my profession and the community.
Yep, and that's great. And those are the things we need because our community is always changing. And so we've got to be there and be part of that. Zella Kern. What's Zella Kern about? I think it's a combination of you and a partner. Is that right?
Yeah. It's My partner Trevor Kern for the last 7 years, and actually we were in a partnership for 3 or 4 years before that. And it's Zella Kern Private Wealth Management. We're based out of Gold River, California, and we're a fee-only, independent, comprehensive financial advisory, and it provides planning solutions and investment management for high net worth individuals and families, like you mentioned, and business owners and physicians. And of course, the goal is to protect and grow their wealth.
Right. So you're a fee-only firm. You've made a decision just to be a fee-only firm as opposed to accepting commissions and things that come off sales?
Yeah. In fact, if we may get into an insurance underwriting situation. If we do, we'll disclose the commission.
Right.
And then donate the commission to charity. We just stay clear of any commission as yep. much as possible. And then fee-only, I mean, that is a concept that provides the maximum amount of transparency for the client.
Yes.
And really removes just about all the conflicts of interest and then brings us on their side of the table.
Yeah, no, I like that. It's a conversation I'm having with a few people right now is a fee only or being commission based. And the commission based makes it a little bit uncomfortable for me because you're not quite sure whether they're recommending something that's in their best interest or in my best interest. So I think the fee only model is a good way to go.
Yep.
With the clients you accept, you have a book of business, obviously, and do you have any parameters that with the clients that would be attractive for you in terms of their net worth or those sorts of things? Do you have any basics that you rules of thumb you try and work to?
Well, I think that with the services that we provide and the depth of those the services that we provide, I mean, they obviously need to have some accumulated wealth,
right?
And you know, we have three rules to be a client of ours. They got to be nice,
right?
Life is short,
right?
They got to be coachable,
yep.
And they got to be goal oriented,
right? Okay.
You know, and aside from that, if they have accumulated wealth, and they want to protect it, and they want to avoid heavy taxation,
right?
And preserve it and grow it in a way that's in accordance with their goals and purpose, then that's a suitable client.
Yeah. There's so many different financial planning companies and wealth management companies out there. What's some of the unique value propositions that you've identified that are important to you and what you do at Zella Kern?
Well, Andrew, I think first is our planning and client services process. Trevor and I, a number of years ago, we found a hole in the financial planning process. And typically what would happen is a client may engage, or an advisor engages in a financial plan for the client. But once investment assets are positioned and the plan's been written, usually the plan goes out the window. And the hole that we found was that the follow-up and the tracking and implementation of that plan, if that needed to be greatly enhanced and systems to be put in place so that we can effectively help the client through a longer-term process and achieve their goals, realize their dreams, and so forth. And, you know, there's a saying out there that a financial plan is 20% planning and 80% implementation and follow through. And it's kind of the reverse. It's the implementation and the follow through that's very, very important. And that goes for anything.
Yeah.
It's running a business.
Absolutely.
Or achieving anything in life.
So the effort you make up front by creating the plan, I love that idea, because if you do the plan and do it properly, the execution should just fairly easily flow. So putting the work in at the beginning by doing the planning just makes things flow much more smoothly.
That's correct. And as far as servicing the client, you know, we need to have the right things in place. We need to have the proper team in place. We need to have the proper systems and the proper process in place.
Steve,
to follow through with the implementation and the planning.
I've got to take a break, Steve. Let me come back. We'll talk more about that. My guest this morning is Steve Zella. He's with Zella Kern, and Steve's a wealth planner. When we come back from break, I've got some more questions for Steve, so hang in there for me.
Money 2.0 is sponsored by Rogerson Business Services.
Call Money 1055 at 866-576-1055. And get your questions answered in real time right now on Money 2.0. Money 105.5 and Sacramento Kia salute Sleep Train for brightening the lives of foster children here in Northern California. Drop your gift of school supplies for foster children at any Sleep Train location.
Michael Cropper here. In August, we're supporting Sleep Train foster kids by donating $100 for every new Sacramento Kia sold. And for my football fans, enter to win a Raiders football weekend just for stopping by Sacramento Kia.
Not everyone can be a foster parent, but everyone can help a foster child with Sleep Train. Sacramento Kia and Money 105.5.
Are you a business owner or entrepreneur at heart? I am too. I'm Andrew Rogerson, a local business broker and host of Money 2.0. Listen live Tuesdays at 10 on Money 105.5 FM. Let's talk about how you can successfully run your business.
Tune in to Money 2.0 with Andrew Rogerson, certified business broker and author of four books, Successfully Start Your Business, Buy Your Business, Buy Your Franchise, and Successfully Sell Your Business. Hear Andrew Rogerson on Money 2.0 live 10 a.m. Tuesdays right here on Money 105.5 FM.
Money experts, every morning at 10 on Money 2.0. Now, back to the host, Andrew Rogerson.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening to 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm the host of the show, Andrew Rogerson, and my guest this morning is Steve Zeller. And Steve's with Zeller Kern, and they're a wealth management company. And before the break, we were talking about the different aspects that that Zeller Kern look to and put into the market. Steve, we were talking about what makes your company different. What else makes you different? We're talking about some of the things that are important to highlight your differences. What else is important to you?
Right. So as we mentioned before, it was definitely emphasizing a planning process, which is the focused wealth process that we developed. And it's very thorough, very comprehensive. And then, of course, it's geared around implementation and communication, which leads me into, the second difference is our level of communication. And at one point, Trevor and I, we tracked how many times we're in touch with the client one way or another throughout
right.
the year.
Right.
And we came up on an average of about 80 times.
Oh, wow.
So we're very big on communication and education yep. to the client. And that includes a weekly investment monitor that we write every Monday morning. And that was initially started during the 2008-2007 crisis going into 2009, and there was just no way to communicate with the client every week with what was going on because
right.
things were unraveling so rapidly
sure.
that we started this monitor, and it's actually grown, and there's a lot of non-clients that read this thing every week.
Yep.
And so and we write it, and it's something that you know helps give our opinion of what our thoughts are on the market and the major trends. And then along with that, we've got two monthly publications that we provide to clients, and then you throw in the reviews, and then a couple of educational events for the clients every year, and there you have it. It's
a lot of
strong communication and education.
Yep, you're talking about the focus well process. Is this the process you're talking about?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, that's going back to the process. The focus well process we developed a number of years ago, and it begins with, of course, the client in mind and establishing thorough goal identification and establishment of the client's purpose. You know, what is all this wealth about?
Right.
Why are we even engaging in this yep. in the first place?
Yep.
And really, that's what's most important, because at the end of the day, I mean, the client wants to be able to provide for their family, make the greatest impact within their life before they leave this world.
Right.
And so it's very, very important. And then the second step is the development of the plan.
Right.
You know, you're dealing with strategies, tactics, and tools. And then after that is plan implementation, and then and so forth. And so the implementation phase, again, we stress, and we end up spending the most time on.
Right. So what I'm hearing with the focus well process, though, I'm hearing wealth is a byproduct of life, and so part of what you're doing is helping that person define their life goals, and then complement that with a wealth plan. Am I probably not saying that the right way, but that's what I'm picking up from you. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yep. That's correct. And spending a lot of time on that.
Right. Right. And I love that idea. That's why I'm listening to what you're saying, because I think there's so much discussion spent in families about money, but money is just a byproduct of what we do. Whereas more time needs to be spent on the family and what makes the family successful and making all that part work. And then the money part won't take care of itself, but if you have those goals worked out, the money complements that, as opposed to making the conversation purely about money.
Right. And then again, I mean, planning is 20%, a plan is 20% planning and 80% implementation is then yep. tracking those goals and adjusting those goals. and adjusting the plan as we go along.
And so in the planning process, again, I'm you know, you're a wealth manager, so that my expectation is that the plan is around the wealth. But I think yep. the planning process is more a holistic thing where it's about the family and if there's a business involved, what the business does and how it interacts with all the different parts in the family.
Right, and then you're dealing with the management of the wealth, okay. And that I would just I guess point out a third I think. Capability of ours that's notable, and that's our investment management. We're investment fiduciaries, and so we provide a high level, very high level of responsibility
yep.
in managing the client's assets. And we offer a number of different strategies within our investment platform, but one that's most notable and most popular with our clients right now is we call it our tactical approach. And that's the ability to have the flexibility and the response to get out of the way of horrendous oncoming bear markets and then keep the assets safe, and then redeploying them during better opportune, you know, more opportune times for growth.
Right.
And we're just, with the situation within the financial markets and the systems, we're just not comfortable with committing assets long-term right now.
Right.
But we do have those approaches, and some institutions that we manage money for
yep.
may have an investment policy that requires us to do that.
Right.
And so we'll do the more traditional approaches, such as strategic asset allocation,
yep.
Individual stock and bond portfolios, and so forth.
Okay. So if you've got a client just walked in and sitting down with you for the first time, what would your first meeting typically look like?
Well, I think the first meeting needs to be a forum and a dialogue that can allow the client to make sure that we're a good fit for them.
Right.
And then as well as we need to make sure that they're going to be a good fit for us. And I mentioned earlier,
yep.
you know, there's three things we ask of a client is that they be nice.
Right.
They be goal-oriented.
Yep.
And they be coachable.
Right.
And you can have a client that's very non-coachable. And it could turn out to be a disaster. And so you have to, you know, if they don't follow what your recommendations are and don't follow what the plan is,
right.
the greater likelihood that they're going to make the bad decisions
yep.
and really wreck their financial situation. So they need to be coachable.
Yep.
And aside from that, again, they need to have a good idea or a desire to protect and grow the wealth.
Right.
And then aside from that, it's being a good listener in the first appointment.
Right.
And really giving the client the opportunity to give us an idea of what their goals are
yep.
and so forth, so we can paint a clear picture of what they want to accomplish in their life.
Yep. Is there such a thing as a typical client, or I'm based on what you're saying to me, I think you've got a cross-section of people, but is there such a thing as a typical client?
Well, it's a client that's that has accumulated wealth and has a desire to preserve it and you know, to make significant impacts with that, whether it's on their family, whether it's with themselves and their life goals, or it's
right.
the community.
Yep.
And you know, lately it's we certainly have had a strong focus on business owners, and providing them in-depth planning and other services to help promote the growth of the firm.
Right.
And promote, you know, and then build the value of the firm, and then, like you mentioned earlier, is gear this company up for their company up for eventual exit.
Right.
And then we engage in some exit planning.
Yep.
For the business owner, and then there's physicians, and how we wound up with physicians. I you know, earlier on in my life, I wanted to be a doc.
Okay.
And I have great interest in medicine. I think yes. there's some very exciting things going yes. on with medicine, aside sure. from, you know, all the dilemmas with Obamacare and so
right.
forth. There's tremendous right. advancements with medical technology.
Yep.
But that being aside, the docs are great to work with.
Yep.
And so we just have always had, you know, an attractiveness towards providing them services.
Yep. Now, the doctors, I specialize in selling medical practice, part of what I do, and I do enjoy working with doctors because they're highly intelligent people and they're very analytical.
Right. They understand what you're saying. They're quick
yep.
to make decisions.
Exactly.
They're trained to make
get
decisions
things done.
Quickly. Yep.
Exactly. So you were talking before, just you touched on it with where we are right now in the economy, with all these different changes that are going through with the decisions or lack of decisions on Wall Street. What do you, and in DC, what do you see happening in the economy right now?
It's questionable, and so we're very cautious, very hawkish on the economy. I think there's a number of things. First of all, let's look at the good news. The good news is there, whether people know it or not, there's some major trends taking place.
Right.
One is, and for the sake of time, I'll be brief.
Yeah.
But is within medical technology. Mm-hmm. There's almost a convergence of technology with with medicine, and that some tremendous technologies are going to come out that are going to vastly change our lives
right.
In the near future, say the next 5 to 8 years.
Yep.
The other thing is energy. And if the government can get out of the way, we potentially can experience massive growth and energy independence. Throw in also all the alternative energy, the technology that's really starting to ramp up, and it's very, very exciting. And then third, I think, is the potential for a manufacturing renaissance in this country again. I mean, there's through nanotechnology and so forth, we're actually coming up with ways to manufacture goods here in the country cheaper than we can in China.
Right.
And so that's very encouraging.
It's an exciting thing too, because I think with the absence of manufacturing interest for the last 8 years or so, there's all these new technologies that have popped up. And so America has the skills and the education and the ability to take those technologies and apply it to the manufacturing and do things that they can't do in other parts of the world.
Yep.
And so that's the exciting thing, I think.
Yep. And the things that we're concerned about is within the financial system, and it's mainly the issue with debt. And we've been very much cued on the next possible major crisis to come to fruition finally is the unraveling of debt.
Right.
And that goes globally. That's dealing with Japan. That's over a quadrillion yen in the hole. That has to deal with a lot of the peripheral countries within Europe. You know, Portugal, Spain, France, Ireland, and so forth. And then here, and it is on a federal level, but it's also the municipalities. And we're already seeing cracks within the municipalities and their debt.
Right.
And the concern is if debt really starts contracting, it's deflationary.
Right.
Most people are worried about inflation and hyperinflation.
Yep.
We're more in the camp of deflation.
Right.
And our big concern in relation to clients' wealth and investment portfolios is that there's very few places to hide when you go into a deflationary spiral. And so we need to make sure that we have the best processes in place to preserve the client's assets as best as possible if really things start getting into a
spiral.
A volatile situation.
Negative spiral. If people are listening, you mentioned before you do lots of communications to your clients. Do you also offer that communications to people that are listening or that want to learn more and maybe they're potential clients, but they'd like to step out and hear what you guys do? Do you have a communication or a newsletter that you make available?
We do. It's called the Weekly Investment Monitor, and you can subscribe to it by visiting our website. Incidentally, our website is just packed with information. We've really made a big effort to provide a lot of education to clients and non-clients visiting the website. But I believe it's right there on the homepage.
Well, you better tell people what the website address is so they know where to go to.
It's very simple. It's zellerkern.com.
Okay.
That's Zeller, ZellerKern.com.
And I presume if people have a question, you're happy to talk to people on the phone?
Sure.
And I think that phone number is 916-436-8270.
That is correct.
It's correct, yeah. So I like your approach to education. That's one of the things I try and do as well. My website, I put all sorts of information about selling a business, buying a franchise. I just believe there's just value in educating people, because when they come and talk to you, if you've peeled away some of the layers of things they're not sure about and you've helped educate them, it just gives you a foundation for having a conversation with them. It seems to be that's some of your approach as well.
Yep.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Can you think quickly what's on the website, some of the things that you've got on the website that may be of interest to people?
Well, we have it partitioned in a number of sections. First is, of course, the homepage, and then there is a section for individuals and families, business owners, and then physicians.
Okay. All right. So you've got it well broken up.
Yeah, we have quite a robust media section where you can actually reference previous issues of our Investment Monitor, our Exit Planning Journal, and our Focused Wealth publication that we issue out monthly.
Steve, our time has come and gone. Thank you for coming and being a guest this morning. My guest was Steve Zeller from Zeller Kern. If you've got questions, you're welcome to visit Steve's website, www.zellerkern.com. And Steve, thank you for being here this morning.
Thank you, Andrew. It's a pleasure.
We'll be back from break shortly.
Money 2.0 is sponsored by Rogerson Business Services.
Call Money 1055 at 866-576-1055 and get your questions answered in real time right now on Money 2.0.
A move higher for stocks, the S&P 500 index has trimmed morning losses and is now at the best level of the session. From Bloomberg World Headquarters in New York, I'm Charlie Pellett. Today's data on retail sales reinforce signals the U.S. economy is expanding moderately. But what about the global picture? Barbara Reinhardt is Chief Investment Strategist at Credit Suisse Holdings.
We downgraded the outlook for global equities over the short term, or what we call our tactical investment horizon of just 1 to 6 months, because the markets have moved so much from the June 24th lows.
Okay.
The June 24th low, you've had about a 8 to 9% increase depending on what U.S. equity index you're looking at. Those are returns you get to see over a one-year time period, not necessarily over just 6 weeks.
The S&P 500 index up 5 points to 1694. That is a gain of 0.3%. Dow Jones Industrial Average up 53 points, a gain of 0.4%. And NASDAQ is higher by 9 points, a gain of 0.2%. That's a Bloomberg Market Minute.
Middle school parents, do you want a school where your child will find learning fun and exciting? Classrooms filled with ideas, a safe place to belong, a school that offers high-quality academics, foreign language studies, technology, and the arts, a school that prepares your student for high school and beyond. How about affordable before and after school care, sports, and activities? Enroll them at Capital Christian Middle School. Call 856-5622 to schedule your personal tour. 856-5622. Online at ccs.cougars.org.
For profitable insights on the world of real estate, join host Michael Bull for the Commercial Real Estate Show. Keep ahead of developments and trends in business and commercial real estate throughout America. Host Michael Bull is a writer, trainer, consultant, and commercial real estate broker who's been helping clients for 30 years with more than $3 billion in sales and leases. The Commercial Real Estate Show, Saturday mornings at 9 on Sacramento's New Money 105.5.
Look, the worst part about business travel is worrying about my wife and kids at home alone. My family's safety is my responsibility. That's why I started researching home security. I called the big alarm companies, checked online, even looked at doing it myself. But the best technology for the best price came from Vivint. They even won the Consumer's Digest Best Buy Award. Yes, Vivint gives me a complete security system, but it does even more. Vivint's video technology is unreal. I can see what's going on in my home right from my smartphone, tablet, or computer. I can even lock the doors remotely if my kids forget. Best yet, I got Vivint's no equipment costs and free install deal. $1,200 worth of camera and security equipment at no charge. Vivint was the easy choice for my family's safety.
Take control of your family's safety with Vivint. Order now for up to $1,200 in security equipment at no charge. Just pay as little as $99 for activation. Plus, call now and installation is free. Call 1-800-236-7081. That's 1-800-236-7081. 1-800-236-7081.
Money experts, every morning at 10 on Money 2.0. Now, back to the host, Andrew Rogerson.
Welcome back, and thank you for listening to 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm the host of the show, Andrew Rogerson, and the guest I have waiting for me is calling in all the way from Los Angeles. I think, in fact, Santa Monica, in fact. His name is Chuck Ashman. Chuck, good morning. You there?
Good morning to you, Andrew.
How are you doing?
Fine, thank you.
You tucked away in Santa Monica, is that right?
Well, we are tucked away in beautiful Southern California, about 7 miles from the ocean, the leading state in America in so many categories, you lose track. Certainly for your listeners and for your topics, which, by the way, very interesting. I was listening to the gentleman you just had on. That's what this state is all about. We're a state with 92% of our economy dominated by small business, companies with less than 500 employees. And while the big guys are laying off and going bankrupt and shutting down, small business is creating jobs, and if they can borrow the right money, growing their companies.
So you're the executive producer. That's hard to say, but if you're executive producer and the CEO of Business Matchmaking, is that right?
Yes, I'm an entrepreneur. I work for the big guys. I climbed the ladder at a couple of corporations and ended up one of the presidents at 20th Century Fox and one of the presidents at Fabergé, and then frankly wanted my own company and the freedom and the risks that go with it, the benefits. So for the past decade, I've been the executive producer and CEO of Business Matchmaking. We're a nonprofit foundation created to serve small business. We were started by a public-private investment from the SBA. And at the time, Hewlett-Packard was the first company, and now it's expanded to include a great many companies. And our mission is very simple, Andrew. It's to take some small business, some manufacturer in Milwaukee, or someone who provides some services, whether they're high-tech or janitorial, or somebody who has a product of any kind, and would like to sell, let's say, a federal government agency, but doesn't have the time, money, experience, or inclination to go to Washington and knock on doors at Homeland Security and say, hi, would you like to buy your office supplies from me in Milwaukee?
Right.
So since that ain't going to work, we bring Homeland Security to Milwaukee. We do that in Sacramento, and we do that in Boise, and we do that in Jacksonville. So that's the concept, to bring government buyers, which has now expanded to include state buyers, county buyers, and private sector buyers, face-to-face at free events where small business can have an opportunity one magazine, I think Newsweek called it business speed dating, where you get 15 minutes with each of a dozen buyers to tell them why they ought to buy your widget or whatever it is you're selling.
Right. And in actual fact, I made connection with Business Matchmaking through a lady you've got here in Sacramento, Ann Marshall. Ann was help organizing an event in West Sacramento with the FBI, the U.S. Attorney's Office.
Yeah, that is an interesting, unanticipated development. We started out, Andrew, 10 years ago, and our focus was 100% procurement. Then about 4 years ago, you know, in other words, when I say 100% procurement, we will teach you, mentor you, help you, handhold you on how to sell a government agency or a major corporation, whether you're a startup, whether you're a wannabe, or whether you're making progress, we'll help you grow. That's where it began. But about 3.5 to 4 years ago, when economic challenges started rearing their ugly head, we added a dimension of access to capital and started bringing in bankers and others to talk as part of our program about how small business could do a better job, for example, of getting a bank loan. About 30% of the bank loans that are turned down for small business don't have to be. They just haven't been asked for properly, the documentation, et cetera. So we brought in Bank of America to travel with us, Union Bank, U.S. Bank, people like that. And then only 6 months ago, it became obvious that crime online, cybercrime, attempting to rob money and ideas and information had found its way to small business. We shouldn't be surprised. The cost and time for the bad guys to get inside a Fortune 500 company is long and slow because of the multi-millions they spend on protection.
Right.
Small business can't afford that.
Right.
So they go after a whole lot of small businesses, and we are now in the midst of putting on programs like the one you're familiar with in Sacramento,
yep.
Where we bring in the Justice Department, local law enforcement, state government, the SBA, and some small businesses that have been through it, and we have a briefing. And the purpose of the briefing is to both educate and motivate. Now, the education's easy because we have the facts, and I'll give you the one. This is, can't get any more current than this, Andrew. This came out yesterday, and that is from the most reliable source, which is the National Cybercrime Alliance. No connection with any company, no politics, totally independent. They are saying that this year, 1 in 5 small businesses have or will be a victim of cybercrime. And that's epidemic. 20% of all the small businesses in the United States is a staggering amount. The second part is even scarier, and that is they say 60% of the small businesses that are so attacked will not survive. They'll go out of business. So we have a big mission. And the reason we have a mission is for the benefit of small businesses who are listening, I don't think they're any different than the rest of us that have small businesses. We wake up in the morning and worry about keeping the lights on, making payroll, making a new sale, what the competition is doing, and how to stay in business. We don't get to issues like our computer security until you go down the list to, you know, number 8 or number 9. Well, our mission with these briefings is to kick that up to the top. So we not only educate, we try to motivate chambers of commerce and various organizations to put the word out. For example, California has, without a doubt, the strongest division of the NFIB. They do an incredible job, great leadership, president in Sacramento and throughout the state. And we're working with them. They're participating in these events because once one of their people gets the information, he, together with the SBA, together with local chambers and professional organizations and radio shows like yours, are able to distribute that information to others. And we got to do it. Pretty scary when someone tells you 1 out of 5 small businesses from those that are attacked won't make it.
Yep. And that's really what the conversation I thought we'd have this morning is about cyber attacks and cyber crime, because just what you were saying, I think it's growing and growing and hurting small businesses. And we've really got to make people aware of it and what some things they can do to protect themselves.
Well, there's lots they can do. For example, I found the banks to be very supportive of this, because obviously a bank and financial transactions are one of the early targets for the bad guys. One thing that's been recommended across the board by the Justice Department and the banking industry is that every company, regardless of its size, isolate one computer and use it for any financial transactions, any banking. Have no social media access on it. And the reason for that is that well over half of these intrusions begin in the world of social media. The bad guys, like the law enforcement people, have software that enable them to look at a Facebook situation and garner in a matter of seconds all the information that is on Facebook. They then have the ability, in a matter of seconds, to extract from that every possible password that might be the key to a raid. It's amazing to me, amazing, Andrew, how many people will just take the dog's name, their birth date, something that's on Facebook, and use that as their password. In some states, actually, the most common password is either the word password or 12345,
right.
Which is, you know, bizarre.
Right.
In any event, if you have a computer isolated for your financial transactions and they don't have access to social media there, then you have a much better chance of protecting your financial, your banking, et cetera. So that's the first. The second is, of course, to stay informed, stay on top of things, know your banking situation, your credit situation, not on an annual basis, but if not weekly, certainly every other week, so that if there's an incident, you know about it quickly. And the third tip that I think is as important as good password and good checking is with regard to your employees. It's unfortunate, but the truth be known, that the majority of attacks on small business are coming from disgruntled employees or former employees. We all spend a great deal of time clearing someone before we hire them. We want to check them out, check the references, et cetera, and make the decision. We should be doing the same when you let someone go or when they leave. You have to make sure that you're not letting someone who's not happy about being fired walk off with keys to the doors. In this case, the doors are your electronic doors where confidential information is stored. And that's a weak area. So I would say passwords, staying on top of your own information and handling the end of an employment like you handle the beginning are Chuck, three great starts.
Chuck, we're going to take a break. We come back from break. I've got some more questions for Chuck Ashman. Back from break shortly.
Money 2.0 is sponsored by Rogerson Business Services.
Call Money 1055 at 866-576-1055 and get your questions answered in real time right now on Money 2.0.
They said it would be so super easy.
Who?
You know, they.
Oh, you met them?
Yes, they.
Mm. Oh, they, that they.
Yes,
the
yes.
People who say.
Yeah, long name,
amazing results.
Results.
Yeah, I know.
The SacramentoHelpWanted.com people.
I love them. I posted my resume in minutes, searched hundreds of local jobs.
And you found a job.
Thanks to them, I did.
They.
Ah, I always wondered who they were.
SacramentoHelpWanted.com.
Now I know.
Welcome to Linda's Javapalooza. I'm Linda.
Wow, this is huge.
57,000 square feet of potential employees. What are you looking for?
Retail.
All the way in the back. Turn left when you hit the IT guys.
Thank you.
We know this is ridiculous, but we're making a point. We're SacramentoHelpWanted.com. And if you're an employer looking for qualified local employees with experience in retail all in one place, don't go here.
There was nobody back there.
Did you turn left at the IT guys?
They weren't there either.
SacramentoHelpWanted.com. Long name, amazing results.
Money experts every morning at 10 on Money 2.0. Now, back to the host, Andrew Rogerson.
Welcome back. Welcome back, and thank you for listening to 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm the host of the show, Andrew Rogerson, and my guest is Chuck Ashman. And Chuck's with Business Matchmaking. And before break, we were talking about cyber attacks. And Chuck was giving me some information about some things that businesses can do to protect themselves. When you use the term cyber attack, Chuck, does it have a specific meaning to you, or is it just something fairly broad?
No, I think it's a rather broad umbrella, Andrew, which covers a wide range of hacking that comes in, some more sophisticated than others. I can tell you about some of the more common ones. And by the way, this also goes to your protection. You know, when we get a computer for personal use, it's got Norton or one of the other major brands giving you basic protection. Well, that's like a flu shot.
Right.
That's put there to get particular identified viruses and stop them from impacting you. But if you're going into business and using more than one computer, you need more sophisticated software so that you're in the prevention mode. You want to discover the viruses, not just be targeting the one flu that your vaccine was created for.
Right.
Let me give you a couple of examples of the types of crimes being committed. At the low end, we have ransomware. Ransomware is very simple. You will get an email and notice that you've lost control of your website, and whoever is going to issue the ransom demand has either put some horrible pornography or directed everyone who comes to you to go to your competition. They can do whatever they want, but you've lost control, and they tell you, unless you pay me $1,500, here's where to wire it, you'll not have control, and I will release this. They even go so far as to threaten to use your site as a source for very offensive material and send it out all over the world or to your customer base or whatever. Unfortunately, the law enforcement experts say that if you do pay, you have very little chance of them doing what they say they're going to do. The only thing you might do is invite them to come back for more money.
Sure.
So the idea, of course, is not to pay.
Right.
The ransomware trend is growing, small amounts with great frequency. Then there's the fraudulent one. We all get these. The FBI has determined that your website has been abused, and it will have to be cleansed of any viruses, etc. by using such and such, the only approved program, please send $312, etc. Those, of course, are all stupid. I think the guideline is that if anybody, for any reason whatsoever, sends you an email with a link in it, I don't care if it appears to be your brother. It may only appear to be your brother and not be your brother.
Right.
If you haven't verified that you not only recognize who the email's from, but you verify that that email was sent, never, never, never open a link inside an email.
Right.
Just don't, because 9 times out of 10, it's going to be their ability through that link to navigate into your system. And once they're in, it's hellacious trying to get them out. Another part of the cyber crime hustle is, of course, using the web to get money. I had an incident about 2 weeks ago. A good friend of mine is Vijay Armitage. He's from India. He's one of the world's greatest all-time tennis players, business executives. And I hadn't seen him in 6 months, but he ended up in L.A., and we had breakfast. And I got back to the office an hour later and had an email from him from Manila in the Philippines.
Wow.
And it said that he hated to bother me, but his sister had been arrested in Manila, and he'd flown over, and like an idiot, he'd left his checkbook in L.A. Would I wire $1,500 right away to him so he could get his sister out? You know, I'll take you out to a good dinner and pay you back when I see you. Well, you know the rest of the story.
Right.
I called him up, and he discovered about 200 people had gotten the same email.
Wow.
And who's to say that there wouldn't be somebody among them who won't wire the money?
Yep.
The famous Nigerian, your uncle has died and left you a lot of money.
Right.
Send us $200 for processing. You know, it goes on every day, and people in this economy figure, what the hell, if there's one chance in 1,000, I'll take it, that it might be real.
Exactly.
So add that to the fact that bad guys in history have always had great technology, you know.
Yep.
In American criminal history, they talk a lot about when the FBI had a fight for the right to carry weapons. There was a show many years ago, some of your listeners will remember, Elliot Ness and the Untouchables.
Right.
And they were the ones that went after Al Capone and the bad guys. Well, by the time they finally got approval to carry a shotgun or a handgun, the bad guys were already using machine guns.
Right.
So they were a little ahead. The first bulletproof cars, again, the bad guys. And it's rather well known that when cell phones came into existence, the first real push were by street gangs and street hustlers and those involved in prostitution and drug smuggling, etc. So we got a war on our hands, and they have a lot of weapons, and we got to win this one. So we need education, we need proper software, we need radio shows like yours,
right,
to inform people.
Sure.
And we've got to get away from the mindset. The mindset is, I'm too small for that to be my problem. No one's going to worry about me. No one's going to bother me. Well, they're wrong. They're going to bother you. 1 out of 5. And when you hear that 60% are not going to survive, they're going to go out of business, that's scary.
That is scary. And actually, that leads into a question I have. Are you seeing particular industries that are victims of these cyber attacks, or is it just across the board?
Well, it was across the board, but now there are some trends emerging, and they're very surprising. You start off with the industries where you know there is a great deal of information. Anyone in healthcare, hospitals, where there are records that include personal data about you, all financial institutions, of course, any of the associations, just as well. The other more recent victims are in the hospitality industry, and that is because you'll have a record at the hotel of people's credit cards when they check in. Another really surprising situation, we found a small, independently owned franchise of one of the major, I think it was Holiday Inn, one of the major national chains. But this was not one they owned. This was a small independent. Now, of course, being a small independent, they have their own computers and don't spend a lot of money on firewalls or anything else. But what the bad guys did was they got into his system, and they weren't interested in what he had. He was a franchisee of a major motel chain, and therefore he had to be connected to their reservation central.
Right.
So they hopped into him, piggybacked along, leapfrogged into the reservation system, and was able to hit and extract a large sum of money from the bank accounts of the major organization. So food prices, hospitality industry, hotels, motels, no question, vulnerable. Healthcare, vulnerable associations. Anybody that's got a body of information about a lot of other people has got to have extra protection.
Chuck, we're coming up to the top of the hour, and so the show's coming to a close, but is there a good place, if people want more information, is there a good place to get more information about cyber
crimes? Yes, there is. I would suggest that they go to businessmatchmaking.com, businessmatchmaking.com, and on that homepage you'll see information provided by Symantec, which is the sponsor of all of these programs we're doing on cybercrime, and that will lead you to, I think, the best information available. So thank you for the opportunity of sharing it.
Thanks, Chuck, for being a guest this morning, and I think cybercrime is something we perhaps not talk enough about, and so I appreciate the time you're spending with you and talking about it and perhaps educating a bit more. Thanks for being available.
Bye.
Thanks, Chuck. Thank you for listening this morning. You're on 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. Next week, I've got two guests. I've got Paul Martin, who's with the state of California, and I thought it would be good to have somebody come in to talk about what the state is doing to cut red tape, and Paul's that guy. So Paul will be my first guest, and my second guest is Michelle Elder, and Michelle's the owner of Elder Accountancy, and we'll be talking about a tax issue with her. So those are my questions. Those are my guests for next week. And just to finish on what I was talking about with Chuck, I wrote a blog. It's called What Is Your Strategy to Manage Cyber Attacks? So if you want more information about cyber attacks, you're welcome to go to my website, and there's a blog I've written. Thank you for listening this morning. You've been one on 105.5 FM and Money 2.0. I'm Andrew Rogerson, and we'll talk to you next week. Thank you. Bye for now.
Money 2.0 is sponsored by Rogerson Business Services.